Time to run.
The Extra Mile podcast to finish breast cancer. The Extra Mile podcast to finish breast cancer is a podcast for anyone entered in or thinking about entering the National Marathon to finish breast cancer on the weekend of February 11th and 12th, 2012 in Jacksonville, Florida. Whether it's the full or half marathon, a corporate or relay team, or even the 5K or family run, this podcast will help you learn everything you need to know about training for the event using Jeff Galloway's Run, Walk, Run training method from the race directors and from Jeff Galloway himself. Join us as we give you all the tools you need to make this amazing event a running memory you'll never forget.
Welcome to episode one of the Extra Mile podcast to finish breast cancer. This is your host, Kevin. And in case you can't pick it up in my voice between my huffing and puffing, I'm pretty excited about this new project, and I'm rather elated that you've decided to join us. What you are listening to is my attempt at putting together a podcast of experts to entertain, inform, and I certainly hope inspire you to what I think can be your most treasured running memory ever this February in Jacksonville, Florida. But before we go on, I feel the need to point out that I am no producer, I'm no writer, and I'm certainly no professional broadcaster. I am just a fellow runner, as passionate about this sport as you are, a rather large fan of Jeff Galloway and his run, walk, run training method, and pretty amazed and actually in awe of the great things that they are doing down there with this national marathon to finish breast cancer. So, what's my point? Well, my point is, I need your help rather badly with this podcast. But the good news is, I hope the help that I'm asking for is going to be a lot of fun for you. What's that help? Easy. I need you to get involved. Left unchecked, my plans for this podcast include discussions each episode about training with the run, walk, run training method with Jeff. I also plan a roundtable discussion each episode with a panel of runners who know more about this race than anyone on the planet. Thirdly, I hope to have some special guests on from time to time. So, what's missing? Well, you, obviously. And there are so many ways that we've got for you to get involved. We'll discuss more about that at the end of the episode. So, with regards to this episode, we will catch up with Jeff before he boards a flight to Athens to run that great marathon. And we'll talk a little bit about run, walk, run and training for this race in particular with Jeff. We will also track down Donna. Yeah, that Donna. As well as Chris Twiggs, the National Program Director for the Galloway Training Programs. And Amanda Napolitano, the Executive Director of the race. And finally, we do speak with a special guest for this episode, a fellow runner and entrepreneurial design artist who has come up with a very unique running item that I wanted to share with you. Pretty cool stuff. So let's get to the good stuff, huh? We will talk again at the end of the show. And until then, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
welcome back. And now we're going to head over to our phone line where we have got a very special guest with us today, Mr. Jeff Galloway. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing today?
Well, Kevin, I'm doing great. I've already gotten in one run today, so I guess I've got endorphins flowing.
You say that as though you're not done with the run. Are you gonna run again today?
I hope so. It depends on my schedule, but I'm looking forward to getting out this afternoon.
You do that often, two a dayers?
Well, I have found that running enhances my day whenever I do it, even if I have to break it up. The reality is that with my commitments, it's often easier to get in two half an hours rather than one full hour on some days. And so that's what I do.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, listen, you and I have done two other podcasts together. The first one was kind of a guinea pig experiment kind of deal, and with some pretty darn good results, if I have to say so. The second was a more methodical look at the 30-week to finish program from the Training Programs book. And judging by the feedback that we got on Facebook as well as listener comments to our comment line and the emails, that one was a pretty darn good success too. And what I'm starting to, as you and I have spoken before, what I'm starting to get is, you know, all these emails saying, keep going, let's do something different, let's do something else. So this podcast is that something else. It's that little different thing. And so this one's going to be specific for runners who have entered a race that I know is very near and dear to your heart, the National Marathon to Finish Breast Cancer.
Yes.
Part one, each episode will be broken down into two parts. And part one will be you and I talking, as we're going to hear in a few minutes, and as we have in past podcasts, about run, walk, run training and specific run, walk, run training as it relates to the Donna. I know you've done all four previous. That's true.
Yes. Yes,
so
I am called a streaker in that event.
A streaker, okay. So we'll talk about some specific run, walk, run training for runners who have put in all of the training and hard work and have maybe run a fall marathon or maybe even a fall half marathon, and now they want to carry those gains forward and all that hard work into a, I keep wanting to call it a spring marathon, but it's more. It's actually a winter marathon, I guess, which you people in the South can do down there in February. Huh?
Absolutely. We have nice enough weather, and, of course, that will be one of the topics that we will be covering, what is expected in the middle of February in Jacksonville, Florida. But the weather is quite pleasant.
So this thing is about give or take 12 to 14 weeks away. Part two of each one of these episodes will also be a roundtable discussion where I've gotten the executive director as well as Amanda Napolitano as well as Chris Twiggs, who is a marathon board member and also the national program director there at the Galloway Training Programs, to agree to join me each episode along with, from time to time, Donna and some special guests where we will talk about some pretty specific questions as they relate to the race itself. Some of the things like hotel accommodations and the flights coming into the hotel, how to get transportation around the city and things like that. And I'm hoping that some of our listeners will call in with any questions they might have, and we promise to get those things. So let me ask you, Jeff, compared to the other two podcasts that we've done, what would you like to make sure that our listeners get from the podcast this time?
Well, first of all, that they realize after having done a half or a full marathon that there are a couple of weeks of recovery, so you don't want to jump in too heavily right at first. Take that recovery period and let the body heal up. But you can hold whatever endurance you have gained for at least 2 weeks, and in most cases, 3 weeks. So you have a 2 to 3 week period in which you don't have to do long runs. But it is important to continue to run. I've heard a number of people say that they want to let their body heal by not running at all. Well, that's well and good if you don't have another goal out there, but you don't want to lose those wonderful adaptations that you've worked so hard to gain. And so keep going at a minimal level every other day, about 30 minutes, and then 2 to 3 weeks later, you can plop in your next long run that we'll be talking about to build towards 26.2 with Donna.
In episode 10, which was the last episode of the Extra Mile Podcast Galloway Edition, we spoke about recovery after our big day, after the half marathon or full marathon. And as I recall, actually setting another goal sometime really soon has a lot of benefits to help you get through that post-race depression or whatever you want to call it. True?
Oh, there's no doubt about that, Kevin. I mean, you've experienced that, the various episodes and having heard from listeners and so forth. And I hear that every day. If you put a date on a calendar, it's a deadline, and we respond very positively to deadlines. We're more motivated to get out and get in our runs, even if the weather's not great. We're more likely to stay on track with our eating and the other factors that we need to keep us focused.
So tell me, of all the hundreds of marathons, 100 and what, 60-something?
It's now been 164.
Of the hundreds that you've done, why is this one so special?
There are categories. I put marathons into categories when people ask me which is my favorite. Well, in the category of helping a charity, helping a cause, and then helping rid the world of a dreaded disease, the Breast Cancer Marathon is by far the best I've ever seen, because it devotes 100% of the entry fee to breast cancer research and care for women that are undergoing the disease. So it's really a wonderful thing to be involved with, first of all, because you're contributing to that. But secondly, there's so many people along the course who are affected by breast cancer or who have friends who are affected by it, and they're out there to support you. And you feel that connection with them that it's unlike any other event I've ever run. And you feel so darn good when you've finished in doing something positive for people. You pass kids that have signs like, "You're running this for my mom," and I often lose it when I go by them. But it's all positive. It's just really a neat thing. And you're inspired by seeing women who... some women who are currently undergoing treatment for breast cancer who run and walk the half marathon. It's a little hard after seeing them to say, "Well, I'm feeling a little lazy today. I don't think I'll get out there."
Right, yeah. As a streaker, I really didn't think I'd be starting a question like that today with you, but as a streaker, give us a 2-minute recap of the course itself, not necessarily from a training perspective, but just give us a recap of that course. What can we expect from the course itself? I mean, is it flat, hilly? What are we in for?
Well, first of all, I want to clarify that I will be wearing clothes. I mean, I'm called a streaker only because I've gone on every one of these events and plan to as long as my legs and feet let me, which I hope is a very long time. But the course is basically flat with about three diversions from flatness. There is a bridge that you go over twice. It's over the Intercoastal Waterway, and it's not a huge bridge, but it is a bridge, and there is an incline on it, and you feel that incline. So it is a good idea to maintain once a week or every 2 weeks running on a hilly course to keep your hill adaptation muscles ready. That bridge comes about half a mile into the course and then about half a mile from the finish. There's one other hill, and that is about 21 and a half miles when you are on the way back, and there is an entrance ramp that goes up onto a road that is an incline. It's not very long, but at that point in the race, you feel it. So just want you to be aware of that. Otherwise, it is flat and a beautiful course. There's a portion at about mile number 5 or 6 that actually goes out on to Jacksonville Beach. And don't worry about bogging down in sand, because the Atlantic Coast beaches in Florida, almost to a single one of them, are hard-packed sand. And a lot of people on some of these beaches actually drive cars out there regularly. But it is hard, it's wide, and the race date is even chosen year to year based on the best date for the tide to be out. But you get out, you go through some of these beautiful little coastal neighborhoods, and then you're parallel to the beach, so you see the beach over there, and then you actually run on the beach for a while. And these neat little beach communities are really fun. People come out, they are really doing their little parties, cheer parties along the course, and it's all in fun, and you just feel so darn good the whole way.
I had the opportunity to run on the beaches down there recently, but and you're right, they're very hard packed, but they're not hard packed getting to them. You know, it's from the sidewalk of the road down to that. What do they do about the softer stuff that's way up, you know, closer to the road? If they run
on those folks who have gone to the beach on the Atlantic side in Florida will often go through a loose sand area when you're going from the road in the beach community over to the beach. What they do for the race is put out plastic platform planking that solidifies that. So it really is like running on a paneled room. So it's fully stable to get you over there.
And how long are you on the beach, give or take?
Well, the half marathoners are on the beach about a mile or so, and the marathoners are on about 2 miles.
Okay. Well, listen, strictly from a training perspective, is there any one item that we should concentrate on or need to focus on more than any other as we train for this course itself? You mentioned something about maybe some doing a little hill work. Is there anything else we should focus on just for this guy?
Well, the hill work can be done on a short run day, every 7 to 14 days, and that'll maintain what you need. The hill itself, just to give you an idea, is about a quarter of a mile long and maybe a third, but anyway, it's around in there. So if you had the opportunity to run up a very gradual grade hill that is of about that length, you know, every 2 weeks would usually be enough to maintain those adaptations. Now, other than that, I am assuming that folks who are making this bridge to the marathon have already run a half marathon or a marathon this fall. If you are just beginning, you could actually build up to the half marathon. There's plenty of time to do it, and the half marathon has a 7-hour limit, so you could crawl the half marathon in 7 hours, or just about. So those who are coming from a base of at least 13 miles from having done a half simply need to do the long runs every other week until the long one reaches around 17 miles. And at that point, you can shift to every third week. And you'll see that detailed in my book, Galloway Training Programs, or Marathon You Can Do It. And you can get those at jeffgalloway.com.
Perfect. That leads me into my next topic, but let's get it a little more granular if we can. And by the way, you have what I think is a great product on your website. It's the training programs book, the Galloway Training Programs, which includes the training program for 10-mile, half marathon, and full marathon. It also includes the to finish half and full, and also for a time for each one of those. But on your website, you can buy that book along with the interval timer, and I believe you call it a starter's kit, and at a discount. And those are, from my perspective, those are two items that you just cannot do without if you're going to run, you know, any half marathon, much less this one.
Kevin, you came up with that idea. We weren't brilliant enough to think of that. And this has been an overwhelmingly popular combo. You've got the book that gives you the information, the schedules, regardless of whether you want to run fast or just finish. And then you have your timer that takes the guesswork out of when to take walk breaks.
So we're sitting at about, give or take, about 13 or 14 weeks away from this race. And you mentioned before, if you're going to run a half marathon, you can jump in from, what, somebody who's just running a few miles a week right now, just pretty much an absolute beginner, and run that half.
Yes.
Is that what
surely
you're
could. The with 13 weeks to go, you could start out by walking a 3 to 4 miler this weekend, and then just gradually building up according to the program in the book.
Well, let's talk about people who might want to do the full marathon. At what point do you think, what's our baseline from somebody who is 13 weeks away from a full marathon? What do you think they ought to be at, you know, right now at this time frame?
Well, ideally, you would have run at least a 13-miler. Actually, let me back up a little bit. At least an 11-miler within the last 2 to 3 weeks. Now, if you've not run quite that far, let's say that somebody has done a 10-miler, you're still in the game, and all you have to do during the next long run, which will be 13 miles, is simply to walk the first 4 miles of that. In other words, you walk the amount at first that you have not covered yet, and then you can run, walk, run the rest of that distance, and that will catch you up with the training program.
Great. What I think I'm going to do, Jeff, if it's all right with you, is on the website, actually at the Donna website, the marathon website, there's a link to the Galloway training programs in Jacksonville, which, by the way, is not too late to get into.
You
might think you're getting pretty close, but they will take you. They will show you exactly what to do. And the only reason there are Galloway training programs everywhere, obviously. But my guess is many of our listeners will be close to the Jacksonville area. And this particular training program has obviously some pretty specific training programs for this race. They actually publish on the website the training program that they're following. If you can, you know, if you want to join theirs, but I'll put a link to that. I'll also put a link to where you can find whether there's a Galloway training program near your city. What are we up to, about 90 of them, maybe?
Yes, about 90 of them now.
Amazing, and that's Mr. Twiggs' job to grow that this year. I'm sure he's doing a great job.
He's doing a good job at it too.
Yeah, he is. So we're sitting at about week 15 or so, if you look at your 30-week marathon to finish schedule. What do you think about, you mentioned before, we should be doing long runs every 2 weeks now, up until what point?
Until the long run reaches 17 miles.
Okay. What about magic miles? If we've not been doing anything up until now, is it too late to start with those?
It's actually a good time to start because you want to get in 3 or 4 of those, and it's really good to run the first one very easy just to get a time. So I'm recommending that if someone has been running regularly, and of course we're assuming that, building up to at least 11 miles prior to this bridge program, the magic mile could be done on almost every non-long run weekend right at first. The first time you run it, don't run it even close to all out. Just run it about the same pace you have been running most of your runs. Just get a time, and then that becomes a target to beat in your very next magic mile.
Great. So in our next episode, which will be in about 3 weeks, we're going to hone in a little bit about some specific Q&As from our listeners. We're also going to talk about run, walk, run as it relates to weeks 17 through 19 of the marathon training program. We'll also hit on the half marathon as well. So if you're into either one of those, make sure you get a hold of that schedule. Get out to that website. I'll put that on here too, where you can buy the Galloway training programs and your timer. By the way, I noticed you can actually buy a timer, a pink timer, right from the website as well, huh?
That is correct.
Specific for this race.
That's there right.
Well, thanks, Jeff. I think we're about done for today. Before I let you go, I wanted to touch real briefly on some travel plans you got coming up. You're heading somewhere for a big marathon in the middle of November.
Yes, very much looking forward to that. This weekend I will be in Fresno, California, but then right after I get back, Barbara and I head over to Greece for the running of the Original Course Marathon from Marathon to Athens, Greece. We're very excited. This will be our 17th year going over there and running in those festivities. And then touring around to some of the ancient running sites over in Greece, learning about the heritage. And every year I learn more stuff about the running and distance running heritage of the Greeks. Then we go over to Italy. We now have 3 Galloway training programs in Italy, and we're meeting up with them in Florence. And Barbara and I will be running with some of those folks in the Florence Marathon. So we are very excited about that trip.
You know, you and I have spoken about this, but I want to add a little plug here for Run, Walk, Running. Again, I have done 5 marathons without Run, Walk, Run, and I've done 1 with it, and that's the only marathon. I mean, that's the only way, usually Run, Walk, Run, that I would even consider running a marathon while I'm on vacation, knowing that there was some sightseeing to go on during that, because you don't want to do that before the race. So, and honestly, there's zero chance I could have done any sightseeing after my marathons that I did not take walk breaks. I was just happy to, you know, step up off the curb at the end.
I've already heard from several dozen folks who ran marathons in the last couple of weeks, and a lot of them, most of them, ran the Marine Corps Marathon this past weekend.
You're right.
And they said the best part about it for them was their ability with their family members to visit the sites in Washington, and most of them had not been able to do that in previous marathons, just like you.
Yeah, welcome to my world. You know, it's terrible when you run a marathon and have to, you know, lay in the hotel the next day, all day long, because you can't move while your family's not enjoying it. So,
yeah.
Well, thanks very much, Jeff. I appreciate the talk. Look forward to the next episode and catching up with how things went in Athens.
That sounds wonderful. And, Kevin, keep doing the great job you're doing.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate your time today.
Okay, bye.
Safe travels. Bye-bye.
Will do.
Everyone, this is Kirsten in Maine, and I just wanted to let Kevin and Jeff know that they have convinced me to sign up for the 26.2 with Donna. They just made the race sound like so much fun, and I have family down in Florida that I've been promising to visit for the last couple of years, so this will give me a great chance to do both. I'm only going to be doing half because I am also signed up to run the Rome Marathon in March in Italy. And the other thing is that I need to make a desperate plea for training partners. Last year I trained by myself for the Antarctica Marathon, and I think training alone through the New England winter was harder than the actual marathon itself. So please, 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 if there is anyone in the Portland, Maine area that is interested in using the Galloway Method to train with me over the winter, please let me know. You can check me out on my blog, which is 26420-something, and that's 26425.blogspot.com. Happy running. Bye.
So let's move over to the Extra Mile Podcast to Finish Breast Cancer Roundtable, where we've got 3 special guests this morning. First of all, sitting to my left is Donna Deegan, the founder and the event chairman of the 26.2 with Donna. Donna, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fabulous. It's a beautiful day in Jacksonville Beach.
We have also got on the phone with us Amanda Napolitano, the executive director. Amanda, good morning.
Good morning.
And finally, Mr. Chris Twiggs, somebody who listeners to the podcast will become very familiar with. He's a board member, the race logistics chair, as well as the national program director for the Galloway Training Programs. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Kevin.
Chris, before we move on, I got to ask you, you ran New York this weekend. Are you walking up and down steps backwards today?
You know, it's funny. My wife and I have been using Jeff Galloway's Run, Walk, Run for all of our marathons since we did our very first one. We were members of the Unenlightened, and since then, many years ago, we've been using Run, Walk. And when we got off the airplane, there was a woman who grimaced when she saw she had to walk downstairs, and she's hobbling down, and I just said to my wife, it's not supposed to be that way, you know? It's not supposed to hurt. It's not supposed to feel that bad, but, you know, that might not have been the best time to preach to her about using Run, Walk, Run.
Exactly.
Well, congratulations, Chris. I'd like to point out that Amanda and I, while we didn't run, we did plenty of carbo loading for everyone. So we cheered and carbo loaded.
Yeah, my cowbell wrist is sore today.
Yeah.
Donna, let's start with you, the founder and the event chairman. Can you tell us a little bit about what that job entails? What do you do on a day-to-day basis, year by year, as the founder and event chairman for this?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I'm probably the nag in chief. I generally want to do more and more and more. And I think I think we're all like that. Once we all got involved in this and saw how really magical it was to get all of these people together, energized for this incredible cause, we just want to make it bigger and better every year and just throw our arms open to everybody. And I think what I do is I'm just the public face to what we do, and I'm a three-time breast cancer survivor, so I think some of the survivors can sort of relate to what I've been through and certainly what they've been through, and we all just support each other, and that's what makes this event, I think, so unique. I think we are an event that really connects hearts, and that's really what I try to put out there in terms of our public message, is just that we're all about the love of what we share going through this together, and not fearful of what may come or has come, but just all about the hope of what's coming that's good. And I think that's what makes us so unique.
Great. I assume there's a lot of travel or some sort of travel involved in all this. You're gone a lot?
Well, we travel from expo to expo to sort of give our message out there and get people to be aware of where we are and what we do. I mean, Jacksonville Beach is a wonderful, beautiful place. You know, we have the river, we have the ocean, we have this great location for people to come and run. One of the only beaches on the planet that's hard and packed enough for people to run for miles and miles on, and we have a short segment of the race that's actually on the beach, and we just need to let people know that. So we travel around to different races to let people know who we are and what we do. So sure, there's some of that, some travel to try to collect some sponsors and the donors and things like that. So it's a lot of fun.
Sounds like it. Amanda, executive director, what does that mean?
Well, you know, I think my objective and my job is to fulfill our mission, which is to produce a world-class event to raise money for groundbreaking breast cancer research at Mayo and to empower women living with breast cancer through the Donna Foundation. So really, my job is to manage the operations of this organization to fulfill those two things. And it's a nice balance where you want to do and put on the best event that you absolutely can while driving a lot of money to the cause.
I've been associated with the Flying Pig Marathon for 13 years now, so I have a little bit of inkling of what the executive director goes through, and I think people would be amazed at the amount of effort and small detail that it takes to put on an event like a marathon like this. I know we've gotten the executive director involved on race day because the bananas weren't delivered on time or something as small as that. So I got to believe you're just juggling so many balls in the air at one time.
There is never a dull moment, Kevin, never a dull moment. But I have a fantastic team. We have a small team. There's only 4.5 of us, but they are an extraordinary group of people, many of whom we'll hear from in this podcast. We'll bring them on and let you meet them and know them. But because we have such a great team of people that are so passionate about what we're doing, it really does make my job a lot of fun and very easy.
Great. Chris, board member and race logistics chair. I got to ask you about the race logistics one. What is that?
Oh, it means that when I see something that I want to complain about, I just complain, and so they gave me a title that made sense with that.
Chris is really good at that, by the way.
Well, you know, we were blessed at the beginning and have been all along with this marathon at how much the city of Jacksonville has embraced our event. And doors opened that people told us would never open when this event came up. And it's something about, I think, when Donna Deegan walks into a room, people just want to say yes to whatever she asks. And, it's true. And so that did mean that while the people who were involved that first year were awesome at putting on special events, we'd had a Super Bowl here and all of that, they didn't necessarily know a great deal about marathons specifically. And I guess just among that team of us that were formed in the beginning, I was the one that had run the most marathons, and I'm certainly never afraid to speak my mind about something. You know, as you know, I was complaining about the way the bibs weren't working quite right at the New York City Marathon. Now, there's a marathon that certainly has been around long enough that they know what they're doing, but I'm gonna point things out that I think where things could be improved. And Donna and Amanda have been kind enough to include me on some meetings and some conversations as new things have come up with the race here and there.
I was just going to say, to Chris's point, you know, I think when you're New York City or you're Boston or you're Chicago, you can afford to make mistakes and people are going to come back. And I think when you're Jacksonville Beach, even though we are the only marathon out there dedicated solely to raising funds for this cause, I think we're sort of like Avis. We have to try harder and we have to be perfect. And that's really what Chris is talking about. From day one with this, we have really put together a group of people that make sure that everything we do or attempt to do is first class and puts the runner first. And that's really what our event is all about. And if you go back and you look at most of the comments about the race, I mean, that's what people notice. We're all about the runner, and we make people feel special when they come here. And Chris's attention to detail is just one of the ways in which we keep our hand on that pulse. I mean, it's very important for us to know what people are saying, and for people that run marathons a lot, like Chris does, to know, you know, what are we doing right and what are we doing wrong. And he's a wonderful gauge of that.
Yeah, I can't think of a larger group that is so, I guess for lack of a better term, so really small and connected than the running group, because you will hear, if a race is put on and something is wrong about it, it will spread like wildfire. And conversely, if something is done very, very well, that'll spread like wildfire as well. And you get such a reputation, either good or bad. I remember the first year that Disney put on their marathon, it actually had some bad things, some things that went wrong, and people were talking about it for a long time. Now, they've corrected those, but this race has an amazingly good reputation amongst runners. And to Amanda's point, we are going to have other people on this roundtable, and I've already teed up a few people who are do not have any sort of vested interest, have just run the marathon, and we're going to ask them what they liked about it and just their impressions off the top of their head. I've got a couple of topics I want to talk about this morning. The first one is the race course itself. If I have entered this race and have never done it before, I'm now going to train for X amount of weeks, months, and put in a lot of sweat. I want to know everything about this race before I show up that day. So, Donna, tell us a little bit about the race course. First of all, is the start and finish at the same place?
It is. It starts and finishes at the Mayo Clinic campus, which is just on the west side of the Intracoastal Waterway. So we begin that morning. They have a very large campus and have our Runners Village and everything right there on the Mayo campus. And we run from there straight over a very beautiful Intracoastal Waterway. That's the only elevation in this course is the Intracoastal Waterway Bridge, which is which is not very high, but it's very long. And it's an we have a T-shirt that says it's not a bridge, it's a view, and that's really what it looks like. You step out onto that bridge, and the sun is coming up over the marshes, and it's just the most breathtaking sight. And you look back over your shoulder, and you see this. In front of you and behind you, this absolute sea of runners. I don't think I've run this race one time, and I know it's my race, but I don't think I've run it one time when I didn't burst into tears when I got up on that bridge and saw that sight of all those people that are crossing the bridge. So from there, you go to straight to the beach. You run right along the roads that run along the ocean, really almost the entire time of this race. And as I suggested to you before, we have a 2 mile portion of the marathon route that actually runs right on to our hard packed sand. And what we do is we put some materials out over the soft sand so people never have to run in the soft sand, and take them right out onto the hard packed sand where they run for 2 miles. And the really cool thing about that, Kevin, in addition to the fact that it's the beach, and people who come here and never see the beach are just fascinated. They're taking pictures and everything else. But we have our memory boards out on the beach as well, where people have signed those at the expo for people they want to either remember or honor, and those are really, really wonderful for people that come up and touch them or they take pictures with them. And so that's a beautiful, beautiful part of the course. And then from there you go into Neptune Beach, through our town center there at Neptune and Atlantic Beach, straight up the coast through Atlantic Beach and through a gorgeous neighborhood called Ocean Walk, which takes you off the beach a little bit but into a sort of forested live oaks, and you sort of feel like you've stepped into a completely different scene. It's just it's a beautiful route, if I do say so. And then back to the Mayo Clinic from there. And the entire time, the course is just absolutely lined with people who are thanking you for running, who are holding up signs about their loved ones, who have their own homemade water stations or food stations, or in some cases margarita stations. It's true, but it's a magical course and a beautiful experience. But I honestly think we have one of the prettiest courses in the country.
I know you said that there are water stations that people will put out by themselves, but officially for the race itself, how many water stations are, or where are they located in fuel stations along the run?
We basically have water stations every mile of the marathon. You know, one of the things that I said when we first started was, you know, I don't care if we have enough water to, you know, to float a battleship, we will never run out of water in this race.
Yeah.
And it's Florida. You never know what you're going to get, you know, when you're planning a race. And so we have a lot of water stations. We have a lot of fuel stations, and we have a lot of medical areas. We probably have more porta potties than any race in the country because we have a lot of women in this race. And so when we started our logistics planning, I remember the gentleman who was putting together the race course for us said, "I think you've made a mistake in terms of the number of porta potties here." And I said, "No, that's no mistake. That's how many we want." I said, "I'm not going to have women feeling like they have to squat in the bushes. We're going to have plenty of porta potties out there." So. You know, we like I said, we'd like to make it runner friendly, but we also want to make it safe for everybody. And because our average temperatures are usually wonderful, 40s and 60s, as you've seen in so many races around the country, it's simply unpredictable. So you have to make sure you have a lot of water out there and a lot of opportunities for people to drink. So that's what we do.
Yeah, you laugh about running out of water, but anybody who's familiar with that tiny little marathon they do in Chicago every year will remember they ran out of water a couple years ago, and so it happens unless you plan ahead for it.
Well, it happens, and again, as I said before, when you're Chicago, you can recover from that, but when you're Jacksonville Beach, maybe not. So I just don't want to ever find out what that's like. And so let's just say that at the end of every one of our races, we have plenty of water to give out for other events, but that's okay. It's one of those things that we just always want to make sure we're covered, and we are.
Your website calls this course beginner-friendly. What does that mean?
I think it means that it's flat mostly. I think that's the biggest thing. And beyond that, it's incredible support. I think if you talk to anybody who's ever run a marathon, obviously course support is huge. And in some marathons, you just can go miles and miles and you don't see a soul. And in ours, this community has really embraced this race. So you literally have somebody cheering for you practically every step of the way. And I think for somebody who's running their first marathon, in addition to the fact that it's not logistically terribly challenging, challenging. You have a great deal of core support, people urging you along and rooting for you as you go along your journey. So I think that's a pretty big deal for people.
For some
and
of
it's
our-
also open for 7 hours for both the full and the half marathon course. So that's a long time for a course to be open as compared to some of the other races in the country.
Yeah.
And, of course, I know we're going to talk about the Galloway pace groups that we provide, which we're the only marathon in the country that provides those, which I'm sure Chris would love to talk about when we get to that topic.
Great, great point,
I'm
Amanda. So for some of our faster listeners, is this course certified? I mean, could we officially qualify for Boston on this course?
Of course. It's a Boston qualifier. In fact, we've had a number of people qualify for Boston and, in fact, the Olympic trials. I'd like to point out that another really cool thing for us this week is that the woman who got second place in the New York City Marathon set our course record back in 2010. It's a fast course, especially for, you know, when you compare it to most marathons out there that have a lot of hills or logistical challenges. It's a fast course. And so for people who want to qualify for Boston, come on down. You've got a perfect opportunity.
Well, great. We spent a lot of time talking about the marathon, but Amanda, this thing is more than just a marathon. It's a whole weekend of events. Can you tell us a little bit about what this whole weekend will entail and a little bit more about if we're not into running a full marathon, what else we can maybe get involved in for the weekend?
Absolutely. I'll start with Sunday, which is when the marathon happens. We also have a half marathon, which we mentioned. But there's also a marathon relay. It's a 5-leg relay. So basically, you can put a team together of up to 5 people, and each leg is roughly 5 miles, with the last leg, the anchor leg, being at 6.2. It's a lot of fun for people and allows you to be out on the full course on Sunday with everyone else, as long as you're capable of running about 5 miles. So that's been very popular.
Great.
And then moving back to Saturday, the morning before our Health and Fitness Expo opens, we have a 5K and family fun run, which is a great warm-up for many of the people running the marathon or the half marathon on Sunday, or folks that want to bring their families out and run a 5K. And also the family fun run, which is just a mile, is great for the kids or anybody wanting to walk. And it's a different venue. This particular event is held in downtown Jacksonville, so you can enjoy our beautiful river. And much of the course for this particular event runs along our river walk in downtown. So just gorgeous views of downtown Jacksonville along the St. John's River. It's really beautiful. For folks that just want to come and experience our event, of course, there's a 2-day Health and Fitness Expo at the Primark Warren Convention Center. It's open to the public, open to anyone that wants to come. We have about 110 vendors that are there, great deals on a lot of running apparel and accessories, great shopping. Many of our partners, in kind of the world of breast cancer awareness, are there for education and giving out to you. It's just really a fun event. And then some great, great speaker lineup for those 2 days. Of course, Jeff Galloway will be here giving some talks. We've got Bill Rogers, Joan Benoit Samuelson, Bart Yasso of Runner's World. So a lot of experts in the field that will be giving talks.
That's great. Can I register at some of these events right there at the expo, or do we have to register in advance for all of these events?
We do.
Oh, yeah, you can register at the expo.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do offer registration at the expo.
Can you register at the expo for the full marathon as well, or is that something you need to do in advance?
Well, of course, our preference is that you do that in advance, but yes, of course, you can come and register at the expo.
Great.
The only thing that we don't offer is race day registration on Sunday, so you can't come to the Mayo Clinic on Sunday morning and expect to get registered.
And a lot of times our relay will be topped out by the end of the expo. So the relay is the only thing that we really cap right now. We don't want that to sort of take over the entire race course because logistically that's a bit of a challenge. So the relay is the only thing that I would give the caveat that if you haven't registered for that ahead of time, you may not get a space in the relay. But beyond that, marathon and half marathon registration certainly. And, of course, for the 5K and family fun run, you can just show up that morning and register if you want to.
Perfect. Chris, you are also the National Program Director for the Galloway Training Programs, and that means something quite special for this race in particular.
So, yes, when Donna first came up with this idea of creating 26.2 with Donna, the National Marathon to Finish Breast Cancer, she had already discussed this with her doctor, Edith Perez, who does the research at the Mayo Clinic that is saving lives every day. She talked with me and Amanda, and we all agreed that we really needed to get Jeff Galloway involved from the beginning. And so he helped us out with some of the research to take to Mayo to convince them that this was something that they should be involved with. And we also have used this information to help get new sponsors. But Jeff has helped the race out with more than just the information, of course, with his presence coming to the race every year and running it, speaking at the expo, talking about it when he travels around to his events and kickoffs. And then we've also created Galloway Pace Group for the race. And this is something that is unique to 26.2 with Donna. We're the only marathon to have official Galloway Pacers for every one of our pace groups. So whether you are just looking to make it over the bridge on time and finish the race in 7 hours, or if you are running fast and looking to go under 3 hours and 10 minutes, we have pacers doing run, walk, run for all of those paces in between. And your listeners can go to breastcancermarathon.com right now, and under the run link, there is a page for the Galloway Pacers, and they can see what the run-walk-run ratio will be that those pace groups will use, and they can also see what the time goals are where we will have pacers.
Great. Well, let's take this a teeny step at a time. Let's assume, first of all, I'm in the Jacksonville area. You have a Jacksonville training program just in that area as well. Anything you're doing anything specific for this race? In that
we do
program?
Everything. Everything in the Jacksonville program is specific to this race, to the marathon. Right now, we have had the marathon training going on since July. We kicked off a half marathon training just a week ago, and that's going on, targeting the half marathon in February. And we will even have a 5K, 5 mile training group that will kick off right on right at New Year's to get people ready for that 5K on Saturday, or to do a 5 mile segment of the relay. We really in Jacksonville, the local training program for Galloway is all about 26.2 with Donna, and we're thrilled that Donna comes and trains with us as well when she's not off traveling at a race or for work, and her husband Tim is one of the fasties. In fact, he's the original fastie in our program and runs with the fastest folks in our training group.
The interesting thing about Tim, just to add a note about the Galloway training, for any of the folks who are listening and they say, gosh, you know, won't that walking stuff slow me down? I mean, it's really amazing to see how the times improve once you add walk breaks into your marathon training. And I know for Tim, ever since he got into the Galloway program, and he basically did it for me to start off with, he's a very solitary runner who never walked. Now he absolutely loves it and has cut about 20 minutes off of his marathon time because it just saves your legs so much, as you know. And I think that's the one thing that people think is sort of counterintuitive sometimes when they hear about the run-walk. It truly does make you a stronger and faster runner because it's just, you know, physiologically you're just changing up those muscles. And so it's a great way for people to train and get even stronger than they already are. So, and as Chris referred to, get to the end of the day without feeling like you have to wince every time you walk down a stair.
Well, I know, Tim's the chief meteorologist down there as his day job, right? And so I've got him
That's correct.
To come on the show and talk about race day weather, which I know everybody's dying to hear about. Maybe some.
Well, just so you know, if you just make sure you have plenty of time if you get Tim started on the weather. That's all.
Okay.
That's all I'll say about that. When we go on our long runs, if I ever get tired, all I have to do is ask him a weather question. I'm done. You know, so I just.
Well,
I was
going to ask if there's anybody on the phone that might be able to help put some pressure on him to come on the show for us.
Yeah, I think I might be able to handle that.
Okay, so Chris, we're not in the Jacksonville area, but we still need some help and maybe want to get some Galloway advice from a training program. What's our next option?
Well, we have Galloway training programs in about 90 different cities around the country, and we have some international locations as well in Canada, in Italy. We have someone, a woman that was here visiting with us and ran with our program recently, just ran the New York City Marathon a couple of days ago, and so she's right now on a plane back to Germany where she's going to be starting a Galloway program. I have a call after this one that I have to make to someone in Venezuela who's going to be starting a Galloway program there. So we're expanding all over the place, and so what I would encourage your listeners to do is to go to jeffgalloway.com and look and see if there is a Galloway program in their area. And if there is, I guarantee that Galloway program knows all about 26.2 with Donna. Now, certainly some of those local programs target local races. I was just in New York City, as we mentioned, and the New York City Galloway program primarily targets New York City Marathon. But they do have people who are continuing to train even after that marathon to keep their distance up and be able to come down here and run the marathon in Jacksonville Beach. We are using the weekend of 26.2 with Donna as our national program directors meeting, and we'll bring all of our program directors for Galloway from around the country here to Jacksonville Beach to conduct a meeting. And so all of those program directors have an incentive to run the marathon or half marathon here. And so those local programs will be doing what they can to accommodate those runners who want to come. If they're in an area where there is not a Galloway program, then my first choice is for them to call me or email me, chris@jeffgalloway.com, and let's talk about starting a new Galloway program. Because if there are runners out there who want to use Run, Walk, Run, we want them to start a program, and I can give them the support that they need to make that happen. And there are some options also for people that are isolated. Jeff does e-coaching, and I know that that's something he did with you, Kevin.
Yep.
And so you probably know a little bit more about it than I do. I think Amanda also has been an e-coach client of Jeff.
I have. It's a wonderful experience, yeah.
And so that's a great way to get Jeff's daily, weekly input on your training, very personalized service. And we also have a virtual trainer that is offered when you go on to breastcancermarathon.com and you find the training link where you can go to register for our local Jacksonville training, or you can go there to find out more information about training around the country. There is also this option to get this virtual training, which is an automated system, but it's using the schedule that we created for the Jacksonville program. That it includes Jeff's advice that is timed to where you are during the training when you purchase that. You get some emails and some help along the way, some encouragement. I think I've given you those pieces of information in the order of preference. My first choice would be get them into the local Galloway program.
And before I forget, all of the things that we've spoken about today, I will put in specific links in the show notes, so nobody has to worry about remembering what we spoke about and then figuring out how to get to them. So just go to the website, and you'll see all the specific links to everything we spoke about. Last topic of the day is, I'm going down for the weekend. I'm going to bring my wife and kids and other family members, and they want to get involved in this event as well. There are some volunteer opportunities for family members or even listeners who just are not going to be ready to run a half or full or can't participate in this race but still want to be involved.
Well, we need about 2,000 volunteers for this race, and we have an online link on our website where you can go into the support section on our website, and you can fill out exactly what you'd like to do if you know you're coming down ahead of time, and get those positions filled. But beyond that, I would just say that just to have people on the course is just a singular and wonderful experience. And so to me, that's as important as any volunteer position we have, is to get out there and scream for people who are running and encourage them. So yeah, there are all sorts of things from giving out water to working at the expo to just helping with any a number of events that we have going on in the weekend. But truly, the other thing is just simply get out there and spend the time on the course and encourage runners. That's just another opportunity.
Great. And to that end, Donna, I'll put a link as well to a spectator's guide that you've got online that gives a lot of great information on that weekend and just being a spectator, how to get to different points and how to help from that standpoint. Very good.
Absolutely.
I
we give our volunteers a lot of love, so it's a great thing.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to be involved in.
I don't think there's another race in the world where your family can just go and lay out on the beach and then, here comes mom or here comes dad running the marathon. Let's cheer for a few minutes, clang the cowbell. Okay, back to making that sandcastle.
It's not an awful place to spectate. That's for sure. It's a beautiful place just to visit. So you can enjoy yourself just out on the course for sure.
Perfect. Well, listen, I appreciate everyone's time. Before I let you guys get out of here, is there anything else that we want to cover in this episode before we take off? Amanda, was there something else about registration you want to make sure we spoke about?
Yes. So online registration is open and will continue to be open through the Wednesday evening before the race, and that's February the 9th, 2012. Online registration will close just before midnight, 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So after Wednesday night, you will have to come down to the Health and Fitness Expo to get registered if you have not registered already. So definitely get online and register. And then as you look out, when you come and run in February, you're just going to want to come back each and every year after that. You'll be hooked. And so registration for our 2013 race actually opens the day of the marathon. So you can go back online and take advantage of some of our early bird registration fees, which are just phenomenal, and get registered again for 2013. I also wanted to mention, Kevin, there's two really impressive events that happen over race weekend that are new and special this year in what we're offering. On Friday night, we have a screening of Joan Benoit Samuelson's documentary, There Is No Finish Line. This is a wonderful, beautiful story of Joni, who's been a supporter of our race since day one, and she will actually be there to welcome the group and answer questions about her career and sort of her philosophy. So that should be a really fun event on Friday night, and you can call our office. All of this information is on our website. You can call our office to make a reservation for that. We also have our pasta party on Saturday night before the race, we're going to have a legend panel. So we're going to talk about our sport and hear from folks like Jeff Galloway, Bart Yasso, Joan Benoit Samuelson, and just kind of that whole Bill Rogers. They're all going to be there, and Chris is actually going to facilitate that conversation so we can ask some questions of those guys about our sport and enjoy some fantastic pasta before we can run on Sunday.
And I want to point out also, Amanda, that Joni's actually going to run the full marathon this year. This is the first year she will run the full marathon with us. She usually runs the half, and this year she'll be out on the full marathon course, and that will be exciting to have people. We have so many people running the full marathon this year, especially given that it's our fifth anniversary, and I think it'll be fun to know that you're out there with Joni Benoit Samuelson on that full 26.2 course.
Nice. Well, listen, in the next episode, we've got several topics to tee up, but one of them is going to be volunteer opportunities and whether or not anyone who is registered in this race realizes that they are raising funds for the great cause down here, because 100% of their registration actually goes toward the fundraising for this race as well. True?
100% of our proceeds from the registration, and then 100% of our raised funds all goes to the cause. That's the only reason we exist, Kevin, is to raise money for this wonderful cause, for benchtop research and for women who are living with the disease right now, who are having a difficult time making ends meet. So, that's the very unique thing about our race beyond the logistics of it, is the fact that we're the only marathon in the country that does that, and we are very specific about making sure that people know where their money's going. We send out a newsletter every month. We send out constant updates of exactly what our research dollars are going for, what research is being developed from that, what results we're getting. We let people meet the recipients who are receiving financial aid from the Donna Foundation, so they'll know exactly where their funds are going. So we're extremely transparent in terms of where their dollars go. And I think these days, when you can see a pink ribbon on just about anything and wonder where that goes, we really spend a lot of time trying to make sure that folks who do decide to come run our race, knowing their money's going to the cause, will know exactly where their money's going.
Great. We'll delve into the whole fundraising issue in a lot more depth during our next episode. I'm going to let you guys go today. I appreciate your time very much, and can't wait to talk again. You all have a great next few weeks of training, and we'll catch up again for the next episode soon.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
Kevin.
So much, Kevin. That was great.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good one.
You too.
Okay, so another topic I wanted to talk about today was the fact that some of you listeners who have been with Jeff and I for some previous podcasts will know that in previous podcasts, we have, for lack of a better term, we've had some friends of the show, some supporters of the show. We've never had anything as far as sponsorship goes, but we've had some products that we really felt strongly about, and we talked about them. We gave little reviews about them, and we would link their websites to ours. And in those cases, it was always a product that, number one, we felt would help get us through the long runs, would help get you to that finish line of that marathon with a smile on your face. And number two, a product that was true to the runner, something that would last a long time, that didn't cost a lot of money, and was pretty innovative. You just couldn't get it anywhere else. So for those of you new to this podcast and had not followed along, I wanted to tee up a product that I came across a few weeks ago, and honestly, I cannot remember who did it, but one of the friends of the show put in one of our friends on the Facebook page posted a video from a guy by the name of Brian Hawk, and Brian came up with a very innovative water bottle. Now, I know what you're thinking, how innovative can a water bottle be? There are hundreds of water bottles out there, and basically, it's a container with a lid on it, and there you go. Well, I got to tell you, you're wrong. Water bottles, as I saw when I watched Brian's video, can be innovative. And to that end, I got a hold of Brian. I asked Brian to come on the show with us today, and Brian's on the phone with us. Hello, Brian. How you doing today?
Hi, Kevin. I'm doing great, and thanks for that awesome intro. I appreciate it.
No problem. So let's get into to the product a little bit. Your company is a company by the name of what? Simple Hydration.
That's correct. Simple
right.
Hydration.
And tell me a little bit about your background first. What do you do for a living? How do you pay the mortgage?
Yeah, I am a graphic designer by trade, and that's pretty much what I do as far as helping companies, primarily business to business clients, solve their marketing needs, whether that's brochures or identities, catalogs, anything that helps a business run, advertising, that sort of thing. So that's pretty much what I do on a daily basis, and that's what pays my bills, and has for about the last, about eight to nine years. I've had Brian Hawk Design going, and that's been the bread and butter, if you will, as far as my supporting my life.
So beyond the design stuff, you're also a runner yourself, right? Tell us a little bit.
I am. I started running when I was 10 years old. My dad at the time quit drinking and smoking, went cold turkey, and took up running, which a lot of people do. and pulled me out on some runs. And I come from a big family. I have six brothers and sisters, and it was actually some nice kind of quiet time just with my dad and myself. And we would just run around the neighborhood, you know, nothing far as long runs or anything. Mm-hmm. But one of his goals was to do a marathon when he, you know, did this. And so that next year he did a marathon in northern Kentucky. It was called the YMCA Pacemaker Marathon at the time, and I think it had maybe 100 people or 150 people running. That's when marathons back in 1980 were not a big deal yet. And but I thought it was really cool, and I thought, you know, that's pretty neat. I'd like to do that next year. And so I was only 10, 11 at the time, I guess it was. And so in 81, I did a marathon at the age of 12, and I had no clue, you know, what I was getting into at the time. ended up running 4 hours and 47 minutes, so I was really pleased with my time. You know, I only had like a 15-mile run beforehand, but that really is what kind of got me going as far as running. And I ran in high school on track and cross country, and then as well as in college, I ran kind of at the back end of varsity in college for track and cross country at Bowling Green State University. And then since that time, just kind of an average runner, just run, you know, kind of stay in shape. I've done like six marathons, and just recently, just because I always wanted to do it, did an Ironman, and that's kind of my running background, as it were.
Okay, very good, Brian. Let's get a little bit into this product. I mentioned it's a water bottle, and that it is different from pretty much any water bottle I've ever seen. I'm not very good at describing things for a podcast audience. Tell us a little bit about the bottle and why is it unique.
Yeah, the bottle, like you were talking about, as far as it being innovative, I'm going to start off with one little story before I tell you about the
sure.
kind of the shape of the bottle. A teacher, one of the people who backed my project, grabbed the bottle and showed it to her class, a high school class, and she said, you know, what do you think of this water bottle? And the kids, having no clue what its applications were, thought it was not, you know, why would you do something like that to a bottle? And then once they realized that it was specifically for runners, they thought it was the coolest thing. So you know, like you were talking about, is can you do something different to a bottle that hasn't been done? And you know, I think this kind of backs up that yes, you can. Basically, the bottle itself, what makes it unique is the kind of the shape of the bottle. It's kind of slender at the bottom, kind of profiles the lower back, and then goes up to a kind of a hook position. And what that hook allows you to do is slide the bottle into the waistband or into a race belt, and that hook allows it just to stay right there. All you need is, you know, you're just utilizing something you already have if you're just putting it into your shorts, which is your drawstring. You just pull that snug. That holds the weight of the water and keeps the bottle in place. And if you're using a race belt, you just make sure that's snug and that holds the weight of the water and keeps it right there. So it's a real simple way to take 13 ounces of fluid with you on the go. It holds 13 ounces. You know, it's BPA-free, made in the USA, and that's pretty much it. So it's kind of got this slender profile at the bottom. It's got kind of a little bit a bigger top to it where the hook comes out. And then on the on one side, it has some texture to it so that if you're holding it in your hand, you got a little bit of texture. And that also, that texture works to hold it into your shorts as well, so it doesn't move around.
So how did you come up with the idea for this bottle?
Yeah, I mentioned you know, previously about doing an Ironman. I did one in 2008. My friend, I had been out of running for a little bit with starting my business, and a friend of mine said, you know, hey, let's try to qualify for Boston. I had gone down to cheer him on at the Flying Pig Marathon here in Cincinnati. And I thought, okay, that's fine. But the qualifying for Boston was never really a goal of mine, but I thought, what the heck, it'll at least get me into shape and I'll have some focus as far as my workout. So I started kind of working out and ultimately said, what the heck, I'm just going to go for one of my big goals, which was doing an Ironman. So I did an Ironman in 2008, really enjoyed the experience, and then kind of got the bug to do another one. I wasn't really quite sure why, but did another one in 2010, which was the Louisville Ironman. And while I was training for the Louisville Ironman, for anybody that doesn't know, it happens in late August in Louisville, and it's brutally hot during that period. It's very humid, and temperatures typically in the 90s or above. So it's a very, very hot race. So I was trying to simulate what it would be in the marathon. So I was going out for these 15, 20-mile runs at around 3 in the afternoon, which is just brutally hot in Cincinnati where I live. And I'm not one that likes to carry water in my hands. It's less efficient as a runner to do that. And I don't like, you know, the big bulky hydration belts around my side because they always seem to move around. They're hard to put the bottles back in and all that kind of stuff. So I was at a local airport that has a five-mile training loop around it on a path. And so I would, you know, do 5 miles and then, you know, get liquid or Gatorade or goo or whatever and then go on to the next five. But it was so hot that I needed something during those 5 miles. I was out there in the middle of nowhere. And what I ended up doing was using a like an Aquafina bottle and squeezing some air out of it and just sticking it in the back of my shorts there, similar to where the bottle would be placed now. And it kind of worked for the most part, but it kept slipping down and, you know, just it didn't quite work, you know, perfectly. So it kind of was the genesis of the idea to come up with a solution that, you know, basically where a water bottle just stayed right there. It allowed you to be efficient as a runner. And when it's back there, you really don't even realize it's there. So that was kind of the genesis for the idea.
So you actually came up with this idea while you were running. That's very cool.
Yeah. It was one of those that, you know, I think in your mind, and I was telling somebody else this the other day, you know, the idea, the original idea is a little bit different than what, you know, in my mind I was thinking that the bottle itself would just be like an Aquafina bottle. It would be more like a holder with a clip that might work. But when I started prototyping that, it just was too bulky and too big and pushed the waistband out too far, and it just wasn't a good solution, you know, in hindsight after I started doing the prototypes. And then finally it led to, you know, actually just making the bottle the shape that I wanted so it would work. So, it was kind of a little bit of a process, but it ultimately got to where it was a solution that I think worked well.
So where are you in the product cycle right now? Are you you're offering this product, it's up live and all finished,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what we did, and I'll kind of step back even just a step further, because what we did to kind of just bring it to fruition was we put the bottle on a website called Kickstarter.com. Are you familiar with Kickstarter?
No, I'm not, but I saw that video, I know.
Okay, yeah. So Kickstarter, what happens is anybody with an idea, and this is anybody in your audience, if they have an idea, they can basically get it to a prototype stage and then share it with a community like Kickstarter. I think there's like 3 or 4 other type of crowdfunding sites out there. And you do a video. You have to be accepted by the site. But then once you are, you can do a period of time. So I think I did like 60 days or something. And you have to raise a specific amount that you want to cover your production costs or whatever it is you're trying to cover to bring your product to market. And basically what happens is people believe in your product, they pre-order it, and that is what gives you the funding to then go ahead and bring your product, make it a real product, if you will. You know, get it produced, and then you've got actual product, and you've got to fulfill those orders, and then you're on to the next stage, which is then taking your product kind of nationwide and getting it out there. So that was kind of how we did it. We raised over $21,000 on Kickstarter through pre-orders, and then after that, we fulfilled all those orders on Kickstarter, and now we're in the phase of literally getting the word out about the product. So I really appreciate this opportunity to kind of share it with your audience. You know, we just recently went to the Chicago Marathon Expo, the Columbus Marathon Expo, the Long Beach Expo, and now just recently the Indianapolis Expo, the Indy Monumental Marathon. Mm-hmm. And so we're in that phase of just kind of getting the word out, and we've got, you know, a website as well, simplehydration.com, where the product can be purchased. And and then we were also in a few stores that have signed on as well. So it's just kind of in that early stage of you know, just starting to get out into the market, and we'll see where it all goes. It's very exciting. And, you know, the other thing, too, is we're going to be at there's a big retailer show in December in Austin, Texas, which all the running shops go to, or most of the running shops in the U.S. go to. So we're hoping that once they see the product down there, we'll be able to kind of then, you know, take it out somewhat nationwide next year with those shops carrying the product.
Very good. How much do they cost?
I'm sorry?
How much did the bottles cost on your website?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the bottles online, they cost about $19.99.
Okay.
And, you know, we're just, as far as, you know, like price points and things, we're at the expos, we give a little bit off because to try to incentivize people to go ahead and get one then. And we've just gotten two reviews as well, one from the New York Daily News. Their running editor, I think it's Lauren Johnston, I think is her name. She uses the bottle with a spy belt, and it works really well with a spy belt. And she her review was the Simple Hydration bottle is simply fantastic. And then the other review was on minimalistrunningshoes.org, and basically what he said was that you know, for $20 it's a no-brainer kind of a thing.
And, sure. Yeah.
You know, his review, which was awesome, he said that you know, it took him about a mile just to kind of get used to it, kind of being back there on his waistband. But once he did, he said it just became part of him. Didn't even realize it was back there. He thought he dropped it a couple times because he just didn't realize, you know, it just kind of becomes you. And so I kind of back that up as far as my experience with it. And that's where it's at now, and you know, we'll see where it goes. I mean, once it gets into the stores, they have some ability to kind of adjust price and things like that. So
sure, very good. And I got to tell you, I do. Excuse me, you were kind enough to send me one. I've used it several times. In fact, I told you just a little bit ago, I got done with a 15 mile just not half an hour before you and I started speaking today, and I found the exact same. I pretty much have the same result as your guy from Chicago. Was it the Chicago newspaper that you were talking about? The running editor.
New York Daily News.
Yeah, and when I first got a hold of it and put it, I was putting it in the middle of my back, you know, my shorts right in the center, and you play with it a little bit, and mine ends up now right on my right hip, almost like at a maybe 4 o'clock
right.
Position on the clock, and literally when it's back there, you're right. I have no clue it's there after, and part of that is you just forget about it. You know, it obviously if you stop and think about it, yep, it's there. I didn't drop it, but after a while, you just completely forget about it, and then so the only thing you're really into is if you're on a long run, making sure that within, I don't know, 5 to 8 miles or so, you can get to a water source and refill the thing. But honestly, there's no, I don't know of a water source that's gonna you're gonna be able to fill and take with you your entire 20 mile or you know, or plus run. So you're into that anyway. You got to figure out where to get hydration along the way somehow.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you know what you said, like about every 8 miles or so. I mean, you know, with water, I mean, everybody is so different as far as their needs, and I'm not gonna, you know, say that there's one solution. There's not. I mean, I think that what I've kind of come up with is that it's kind of like a perfect bottle between 3 and 10 miles, depending on what your, you know, kind of hydration needs are. And also, obviously, you have to take into account, you know, the weather conditions if you live in a very hot and dry. You know,
and there's no runner out there. There's virtually no runner out there right now, Brian, who's listening, who hasn't already gone on a long run and already sat down and figured out where on this long run can I fill up a water bottle. You know, that's just one of the things we all do. And
well, it's just what you said. I mean, it's so funny because when I'm at the expos, when people realize and they see, you know, like where the bottle goes, and then they're like, "Oh my gosh, absolutely!" And he's like, "I stick whole water bottles back there," and he does, or whatever. And so it's so funny that it's a very common experience among runners once they see how the bottle is kind of used and kind of where it can go and that sort of thing. But you're right, and you hit on a good point, which is, you know, the bottle has like a contour shape to it, so it kind of just fits onto the waist, I think, really well. And, you know, your comment kind of backs that up. You can kind of, you know, move it around to where it kind of fits.
Right. So the best thing for a listener to do is to go to your website, which again is www.simplehydration.com, where you can see what the bottle looks like. And I'm also going to post the video that we spoke about earlier, because Brian does a great job of displaying the bottle and showing you exactly how it's used, and I'm a visual person, so you get an idea of not just be able to put a face to a voice you're hearing this morning. Could Brian does his own video. Is that video on your website, Brian? I know it's out on.
It is. If you just go to simplehydration.com and then you click on the About area.
Okay.
in there, it kind of lists out just kind of pretty much what we've been talking about, you know, kind of how the bottle came to be. And then there's a link to Kickstarter. If you click on Kickstarter, it goes to the page where the video is, and you can certainly see it there.
Great, great. I'll make it easy for our listeners. We're simple people. I'll put the link
there
right there in the show notes for today's deal too. So what's coming up? You mentioned some of the places you've been, and you're going to that trade show. You got some more marathons, or is your marathon season pretty much done? Expos, I should say.
Yeah, I'm going to. We're just trying to get the word out a little bit right now, and so I'm going to the Charlotte Thunder Road Marathon this weekend, and that'll probably be the last one until December for the retailer show. And then after the retailer show, we'll probably be at the Surf City Marathon out in California, and then obviously the Flying Pig Marathon, which is here where I live in Cincinnati. So those will be the main two at this point, but we'll probably be adding some more as we go. But that's kind of the lineup at this point, and it's just getting the word out.
Great. Well, safe travels. I love the product. I think it's great when we find a fellow runner with an entrepreneurial spirit who just comes up with this idea, makes it happen, and is also obviously made in America. That's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, and it's something too that, you know, that was a challenge in and of itself to try to find a vendor that, you know, could kind of do what I was asking. I mean, because the bottle, the unique shape of the bottle was kind of a challenge to blow mold. So that, you know, created a little bit of an issue, and I have a brother-in-law who works in Chicago, and he was telling me, I've got like 6 blow molders over in China that could probably do this for you, and I was like, I really wanted to keep it made in the U.S., and so we've actually got a cap company out of Kansas, I believe it is, and then we've got the blow molder itself, which is out of Los Angeles, and then all orders are handled through a distribution company out of Toledo. So it's kind of a complete U.S. kind of thing, supporting the economy all over the U.S.
Good for you. Congratulations on this, Brian, and I wish nothing but the best. And before I let you go, I mentioned we're going to put the website out there, so listeners need to go out, check it out, and obviously order a bottle and give it a shot. But is there anything else that we can do if you know, our listeners are as excited about this as I am to help this product get off the ground?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's one thing to to support it financially. That's great. That's awesome. But you know, if anything, if your listening audience, you know, can go to their local running shop and say, you know, hey, we would really like for you to carry the Simple Hydration bottle. You know, that would be awesome because we're like I said, we're just getting started. We're going to be at that show in December, and any kind of mention of the product either beforehand or afterward will just go a pretty long ways to, you know, getting it into shops so that it is available in your local running shop. And that's important to me too. I love local running shops. My goal is not to sell this online. I would love for it to be, you know, available in all the local running shops, just because of the service that they do. And it's a tough environment with the online world nowadays, in a sense. But I'm a big believer in supporting the local economy. So
good for you. Well, listen, I appreciate your time this morning, Brian. Good luck with the product.
Hey, thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it.
I know you and I will be in touch in the near future, and good luck. Safe travel.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. Episode 1 of the Extra Mile Podcast to Finish Breast Cancer. Good stuff, huh? Let's revisit the topic of you getting involved in this podcast. What we're looking for are any ideas, questions, maybe training programs that you've got as we move closer to this race. We want you to let us know. For those of you technical savvy enough, you can always record a piece of short audio and email it to me. You can send your questions, concerns, ideas to our email address. And lastly, you can call the listener comment line. You're also welcome to get over to our Facebook page and ask the entire community anything you like. So it all starts at our website, www.theextramile262.com. At that website, you will find the show notes with links to everything we spoke about today. You'll also find our email address, which, by the way, is extramile262@gmail.com. You'll see exactly how to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, see our Facebook page, and that listener comment line, which, by the way, is area code 206-339-8741. So, how about just a couple of other important things before I let you go? If you're going to buy one book that will help you in this journey, here's the one I recommend. Get over to jeffgalloway.com and look for Jeff's book, Training Programs. Besides everything you need to know about Run, Walk, Run, that book also has specific training schedules for a 10-mile, a half marathon, and a full marathon. It's a great book. And oh, by the way, Jeff's got it on sale the entire month of November for $9.95. I'd pay that for Jeff's autograph, for crying out loud, which, by the way, you will get with that book. I'll put a link in the show notes to that book as well. A couple of fun items. You'll also find in today's show notes a link to a fundraising page that the podcast has set up for the 26.2 with Donna. And if you're so inclined, we would appreciate any sort of donation you could make at our fundraising page. And just for the heck of it, as a little incentive, anyone who is kind enough to donate $5 or more, we will send to you a National Marathon to Finish Breast Cancer pink bracelet. Just another way for you to show the world your support for this great cause. How about a couple other giveaways, huh? Most of you probably are running today with an interval timer made by a great company by the name of Gym Boss. I'm sure you've heard it in the background during my run today. I'm not sure how you can use Run, Walk, Run without one, to be honest with you. This very cool little timer clips to your waist, about the size of a small pager. Oh, wait a minute. Am I dating myself? Do most of you know what a pager is? Anyway, it's about 2 inches by 2 inches maybe, and you can set dual timers. So the idea is you set one of the timers for your walk interval, the other for your run interval, and at the end of each timer, this thing will either beep and or vibrate to remind you it's time to switch. The amazing people at Gym Boss have offered to give some of our lucky listeners some of their pink timers produced just for this race. So what I want you to do is get over to our Facebook page, make sure you like us, and keep an eye out over there, because within the next few days, I'm gonna give a few of these away. And lastly, our buddy Brian from Simple Hydration has offered to help us with a giveaway as well. So here's the deal. Get over to Simple Hydration's Facebook page. Make sure you like that. And post something on there about why you'd like a bottle. Make sure you mention this podcast. Brian will pick 5 of the most creative responses. By the way, Brian tells me he's going to give extra points for creativity. So maybe if you got a video camera or some other creative idea and really want one of these bottles, have a go at it, huh? So that's it for this episode. Please make sure you check out that website for links to everything we spoke about today. That's www.theextramile262.com. And don't forget to send us your questions or comments for the next episode. And until then, you'll enjoy your extra mile.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Extra Mile Podcast to Finish Breast Cancer. Please visit our website at www.theextramile262.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show or any questions for Jeff or our virtual table of experts at extramile262@gmail.com. If you'd like to call us with your audio comments and questions, please call our listener comment line at 206-339-8741.
Walk break.